You'll know because once you start talking about it, it'll give you that little ping of like, there's like a fuzzy feeling, like the spark.
Your soul's jumping out of your body.
Yes. It's like so excited about it.
Yeah.
And you'll just know. It's like being in love. Like you'll just know.
Makes me want to grab your boobs right now.
Don't do it. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. My name's Steve.
And this is Shit They Don't Tell You with Nikki Limo and Steve Green.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. We nailed it. We crushed it. I am very tipsy at this point. We just filmed another episode. It was about alien. I mean, it was not about aliens. It was about UFOs. Sorry.
But you made it about aliens.
I made it about aliens because I love aliens. Yeah, true. Because I love them.
True.
If you have never had a Keurig Drinkworks, we are not sponsored at all, but we're in love with it. It's a machine that makes perfect drinks, and I've been drinking old fashions, and they're really, really, really good. And I can't help it, and I'm sorry. I apologize.
Also, check out our Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Check out our Patreon.
Second to that, check out our Patreon.
That one actually is sponsored by us. But yeah, Steve's been talking about cryptocurrency. He has a segment called Crypto Corner where he guides you. Takes your hand and guides you across that crypto journey.
That's right.
And you can ask whatever question you want of him, and he's a fantastic resource if you're into that.
And I show you my screen and I show you all the different crypto things.
But that's besides the point. Today we're answering your questions, and these are questions that you submitted to us via podcast@nikki.limo. So if you have a question you would like to be answered, you can submit it to podcast@nikki.limo. Just a disclaimer, we are not experts, so whatever you're asking us, take it with a grain of salt. This is for entertainment purposes, but we're going to answer to the best of our abilities.
Damn right. Damn right.
Okay, we will not sell you short.
No way.
But if it doesn't work out, we were just kidding.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're welcome. Okay, let's get to our first question. Our first question is how about slept with 12 people, need help? It's at once. We'll find out. Okay. Hey, Steve and Nikki. Sorry this is long, but we'll make it quick. Also, please keep this anonymous. You got it, anonymous hippopotamus. Part one, need some relationship help big time. I've been together with my girlfriend for 7 months now, and she's awesome. We have a lot of things in common, and I love having her around. She brings great energy and really knows me. Here's the thing, though. On our first date, we didn't do anything physical because she said she likes to take things slow with someone she likes. However, I found out a few weeks later that she had slept with someone a few days after our first date.
Oh,
I was crushed. It's been 6 months since then, but I still think about it often. She told me it was different because she had zero feels for this person and had no intention of ever seeing him again. As for me, she was afraid of messing something up. This makes no sense. Why sleep with someone else while you're going on dates with me who you really like? I prioritized her and I like to date one person at a time. I feel like this is a huge betrayal, but I didn't call things off because when she told me, I was even more invested in the relationship. How the heck do I get over this? Part two, before this relationship, I was single for 3 years. I was heartbroken about my ex who I dated for 3. I didn't date, hook up, or anything since I was still attached to my ex and couldn't seem to let her go. I secretly waited for her to call me back. Dumb, I know.
Damn.
During this time, my now girlfriend, she's 20, has been in 2 relationships and has slept with 12 people. I'm 22 and have only slept with 2 before her. How do I get over the fact that she's been with so many partners? I know it's a male ego thing, but it really hurts and I have a bad time when I always compare myself. I'm so jealous and regret not sleeping with people myself, but I didn't have the emotional recovery to even do that since my ex was toxic. How do I get over the thought of her sleeping with so many people, as well as the thing I mentioned earlier? I keep having phases where I think about this more than others and don't want it to ruin our relationship anymore. Thank you so much.
She's not sleeping with anybody else. She's sleeping with you.
Yeah.
She chose you.
Yep.
That's the honor.
The honor.
She's not goose-stepping it with 12 other people right now.
Right.
She's not dipping back into her past because she misses all that shit. You're the one doing that.
You're the
that.
One she chose. Even with the guy that she slept with after your guys' first date, she got that out of her system, and then when you guys decided to go exclusive, like, you're still it for her. I understand why you would be hurt by that.
Male ego, correct.
Totally understand that.
Which is completely fine. It's legitimate, dude. That sucks, dude. That's hard to sit there sometimes as a man and go, like, fuck.
I can totally understand, though. I think that, okay, so you're 22, so you're really young still, and, you know, I think maybe it comes with age and experience and stuff, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that she did that. And I, and it's hard to understand for you the like the why would she sleep with him if she doesn't have feelings for him, but she had feelings for me and she didn't sleep with me. It's she's separating sex and emotions.
Yes,
is what she did.
But let's acknowledge one thing: it just sucks to find that out.
It does
out.
Suck.
That's a sucky.
I would
thing.
Be hurt if you did.
I
that.
Would too.
Absolutely.
Straight up.
So it's not just the male ego, because I would also be hurt if. Because we had such a great, amazing first date that if you went and slept with someone right after that, I'd be so crushed.
Right. But so, it was so early at yeah. the same time. If I did that, it wouldn't invalidate that first date necessarily. Yes. But it would, for me, just there's some of the
tainted
magic
a little
that
bit.
Was tainted maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how could you have loved our first date so much and then still wanted to physically be with another person?
Right. And yeah. I actually had opportunities to do that because
me too.
It was so early.
Yeah.
But I canceled everything else.
Same. And I had a date with a guy 3 days after our first date that me and him had been flirting for months. So like
it was primed.
He was before you in line.
Yeah.
And I canceled it because I thought it would lead to a place that I didn't want it to go.
I got the fast pass.
Yeah. The first date was so amazing that I was like, I don't give a fuck if this guy is a great first date. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I don't want it to ruin. I had a chick who's actually going to travel to see me.
Yeah.
From
a different state.
A different state.
Yeah.
And I was super nervous about that anyway. But then after you, I was just basically just like, I'm good on everything else.
Yeah. I just didn't want to know. But I get like, so she's 20. I get the wanting to get it out of your system though. Because in my early relationship, a guy that I had been dating for 5 years, I felt like, I loved him, but I always like kind of had the what if feelings. Like if we were to get married today, I would have these wandering thoughts like, I wonder what it's like with another person, you know? Like,
but that's what I don't think is happening here. Oh. I think that this person is going, wait, they have a higher body count than me. They
also...
Oh,
no, there's two separate issues. I was talking about part one.
Oh, right.
The, like but- the getting the non-emotional fuckboy hoe phase out of the way. Like if you want to call that a hoe phase, fucking one person before you, but... Like, you know, getting that out of your system.
But he's not even talking about that necessarily. He says when he's comparing himself to her, that's when he feels weird.
The second one is that. The part two. I'm addressing part one. You understand?
Yeah,
there's
I do.
Two parts.
But it's always about her is what I'm saying. It's always through the lens of her. He's not talking about himself. Like his own bullshit about like how he wishes he fucked more people. If he said that, that would be different.
He did say that.
Well, no, he's talking about how...
He said that exactly.
He says, compared to her...
He said, I have a bad time when I always compare myself. I'm also so jealous and regret not sleeping with people myself.
Okay.
But I didn't have the emotional recovery to do that since my ex was toxic.
Right. But my point of that is that he's... In comparison to her situation, he's mm-hmm. going, oh, fuck, maybe I'm missing out on some shit. But he seems like he really likes this chick.
Totally.
And he's like, in...
And she likes him back.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's proving it.
That's what I'm saying is that... is to let it go, because I think it's almost better that she got this one dude out of the way that she didn't have feelings for, but she like maybe like what if she didn't do that and then mm-hmm. she got with him, like what if she didn't fuck that guy after your first date and then you guys got together and she was always wondering about that guy.
Dude, obviously that guy didn't lay it down.
Exactly. That's like, what I'm saying.
She got with you after, pal.
It was like she objectified him. She used him like a dildo and she tossed him away. That's what she means when she says she doesn't want to mess something up with someone that she actually likes. She doesn't want to objectify you and treat you like a dildo. She wants to actually get to know you as a human being. This guy she used. So that's the difference.
And being jealous of a sex toy she got through the mail.
Exactly.
That's how she views it.
And exactly. And I know it's hard. If I put myself in your shoes, I would 100% be jealous too. I get that. Especially so early in the relationship. Like you're only 7 months in right now. Like if I found out right now today, 8 years in that Steve did that, I could probably get over it really fast.
Thank you.
But
oh my God,
like
thank you.
7 months in, I'd be super hurt. So I
would too.
Fault you at all.
I would
for
be
being
devastated.
Hurt. Yeah.
I'm literally
crying and like thinking about
only
that.
Because of the magic elixir that was
exactly,
and to know that was tainted somehow. But
that's
not our be all end all either.
Exactly,
I don't need us to have had that preserved for time,
right?
Like,
because it's not like we were either of us were virgins,
exactly.
You know, so that would be different. But now going on to part two, the body count thing. You guys, that's not a lot of people. 12 people is not a lot of people. Believe me, we watch Love Island and they're like, I fucked 200 people. And like, dude, that's fucking insane.
12 people a season, bro.
And if it makes you feel better, I have double the body count that Steve has. Still not very high, but.
Just trying to brag, but guess what? I don't take it as a brag.
My body count is 13. And that's what it was when my body count was 12 before I met Steve. Before we started dating, and that was 26, and it stayed that way forever. So now, like, forever in time and space, my body count stays the same. So if you could try to say like, oh, that's a lot of people at age 20 before me, but if you guys stay together,
wait, what's your number?
13.
I think I got mine up, actually.
Shut the fuck up.
In Minecraft.
What the hell?
I got it up in Minecraft.
Minecraft?
I have a Minecraft girlfriend.
You don't even.
I found a chick in a village when I was walking around.
That's fucked up. That's emotionally cheating.
I was clicking the control stick on the left side and definitely was squatting over her a couple times.
Was she a skeleton?
No, she's just a chick. What are you talking about?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, she's really thin.
I don't want to know.
She looks good. She has a nice
body. I don't want to know. But point being is that like you're harping on a number that's going to be so insignificant if you consider this to be a long-term relationship. What is a relationship anyway? Mm-hmm. Like long-term, do you see yourself getting married? I mean, not everyone wants to get married, but you know, usually traditionally you date and then you get married and then you're together. Like you have a kid, you become a family, you know? So long-term, looking at big picture in your life, 12 people is not a lot of people. It averages out to like a fraction of a person per year, you know?
Yeah.
Over time.
And when you understand the way that she could have fucked that guy and then literally never talked to him again, basically is what it sounds like.
Exactly.
You understand her relationship with sex, and that's not a bad thing. That's how she was doing it at the time. But she's obviously committed to you. So that's the honor of the situation.
You have to clean slate it. You have to.
You got
to
get rid of this bullshit in your head. And yeah, it is. There is male ego thing happening too, but it's also understandable. So we're not trying to just discount what you're feeling.
I want you to play out go down the timeline of if you let yourself play out the revenge you would get on her. Like, let's say like you feel like you mad, you're frustrated. Yeah. You're like, I wish I would have fucked more people. Okay, yeah. Play that out in your head.
Nah.
You go fuck some people, and then what? You end up with her, and then you fuck some people. Does that make you feel better? What does it really do for you? It really does. I think you called your own self out, saying, you know, it's the male ego. I wouldn't even put a gender to
male.
It.
Yeah, it's not just
because it's just ego.
Ego, yeah.
Yeah. Is that like you're butthurt that she slept with more people, which like really doesn't mean anything in the big picture of things. But, you know, in this small tunnel vision zone, it's like a big deal. And it really isn't. I want you to know it just isn't a big deal, especially if you really care for somebody. And what this is going to make you do is you're going to start treating her differently and it's going to ruin your relationship. And I think you can see that, and that's why you're asking. But you really need to clean slate it. And if that means going to her and just talking it all out, and like even being self-aware and saying like, hey, I know this is my ego, but I just really need to talk it out. I'm angry. Yeah, but like to her.
Yeah.
Because he's like submitting it to us. But like, you know, to her, like really like just let her know. Like I would just say communication is everything. Like let her know that you're fully aware that it's your ego and you don't want to ruin your relationship, but that you need to vent your frustrations and your emotions.
And dude, Nikki's body count being double mine doesn't bother me because she comes home to me. She's
exactly
with me. Like she's my chick. Like,
I don't even remember those people.
Same. And that's the other thing too, is like, I like forging a new path with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter like, what was behind us.
What was behind us also led me to you.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, it was sampling ice cream flavors. Like, you know how they give you the little tiny spoon and then before you make your choice?
They were tiny spoons, I heard.
They're teeny tiny spoons.
I heard that.
So like you go and like, you're like, okay, yeah, well, but I don't like this part about it. And then, so I had to sample more tiny spoons before I found
the way that you're sampling them too. No, the way that you were just doing that was, it's great, fantastic.
And then I found the flavor that I wanted to commit to. Yeah. And I was like, I could eat this flavor every day for the rest of my life. And it's amazing. And Steve had to sample less flavors before he got to me. And that's all that is. That's really all that is that you stumbled across me and you could have been like, I don't like this either, but you didn't. And we both just stumbled across the same flavor at the same time and we're like, yes, we like this flavor.
Yes.
And that's what it really is.
Are there still other flavors out there? Are there still...
Baskin-Robbins has 32.
This is shit I don't even ask myself, bro. See? I just don't give a shit
anymore.
I only
tasted 12. That's not even a third. That's like a third.
Once you lock in, then you're locked in. But if you're... So just... You seem like an emotionally intelligent person. We're about to move on from this, by the way. Yeah. This has been very long. But I think you have the wherewithal to get through this. I really do. I think you can make this work with your chick. You just got to, like what Nikki was saying, come forward about your feelings about this. Clean slate.
Yeah, don't bottle it up.
Just let it all out.
Yeah.
And be like, listen, I need to sit you down. And if you hear me right now and go, man, this is a little bit of a bitch, I understand because I kind of agree with you, but I need to get this out.
Yeah, exactly. The more self-awareness, the better. Yes. And if she loves you, which it sounds like
she does.
She does. Like, she'll understand. And she might even appreciate you more for it, for the transparency and the communication.
You didn't find out she's texting these people, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you're the guy, bro. So it's time
you're the dude.
It's time to embrace it. Put on the leather jacket. Get on the motorcycle.
Something about you, she was like, this dude's magic. Like, fuck everyone. I don't even want to see anybody else. Like, I have blinders on to everyone else now in the male population.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Good luck. We're rooting for you big time.
We're rooting for you.
Hope you follow back with us.
I don't know how you locked her down, but keep doing it. Okay?
Don't make him dwell on that. Jesus.
All right. Next question. Let's see what we got. How to stop the never-ending cycle of negative thought?
Okay.
This is something I think a lot of people can relate to.
Unique.
Depending. Let me see the situation. Dear Nikki, dear Steve, Negative Nelly here. I am 27 and all my life have struggled with negativity, low self-esteem, and have never been satisfied with myself. I see my constant complaining ruining my friendships and relationships. Are you someone I know? I simply am no fun to be around, and me knowing that only makes things worse because it almost confirms my negativity. I'm no good at meeting new people because the fear of not being accepted paralyzes me to the point that I actually don't feel accepted, making it in the end a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think my relationship just ended because my boyfriend can't listen to my complaining anymore. No, every story I tell is negative. Something in me just keeps bringing up the downsides of everything. I self-doubt every aspect of my life, and the most ridiculous thing is that deep down I actually love life and I'm happy for what is to come and the trees and the bees and the whole shebang. I'm 99.9% sure I can blame my parents, by the way, but I guess everyone is doing their best, so I try not to judge them too hard. How do I break the cycle? How do I stop seeing the negative side in everything, relax, and be confident in myself? I wish you two the best of luck. Negative Nelly.
We love you, Negative Nelly.
We love you, Negative Nelly.
You are just a roaster, unfortunately. That's how you communicate with people. And I think that that's kind of your, like, when it comes to people being stuck in conversations, I think that you go to this negative place because you can find more like runway to speak about something. And so maybe that's why you always go there, because you can always see the faults in things and like all the errors. And like, you're like, oh, I can pick this apart to death. And you don't necessarily go to the good side of that stuff.
That's interesting, because I think it's a coping mechanism.
I definitely think that.
I think it's a safety. I think that you maybe feel like you didn't have a sense of safety growing up. And this is just me. I don't know your life at all. Like, this is just complete conjecture. But one, I think you should go see a therapist. 1,000%. Yes, I think you should see a psychologist, because they can help unroot coping mechanisms that are unhealthy to your present life. But it sounds like you developed this somewhere along the line, because every time you got your hopes up or excited about something, maybe you got disappointed or you were disparaged or something bad happened to you, or you didn't feel a sense of safety. So now what you're doing is to protect yourself. You're like, well, this could happen. This could happen. Oh, I see this happening. Oh, I hate how this happens. I hate this and this and this and this, because you're like, if I can see all the holes in something, then I can protect myself. I know where they all are, and I can like patch them up with spackle, and then maybe I'll survive.
I couldn't agree more.
And it doesn't have to be that way, because the truth is no one knows what's going to happen. It could equally be a good outcome as a bad outcome. And you speculating over all the holes and things doesn't change it. Yes, this actually can be a good skill when you're working on a new project and you want to make sure, like before the rocket launches, that you have all the measurements correct and nothing sucks and you'd used quality materials and all kinds of stuff. That scientist is
not a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, exactly. But in your everyday to day life, yeah, like people don't want to hear about how if they go on that roller coaster, there's a 2% chance that they might fall out because you heard this one story where a girl got decapitated on the Batman ride and other people got feet chopped off, you know?
Riddler's Revenge.
It was the Batman ride.
It was Riddler's Revenge.
There was a separate incident on Riddler's Revenge. Go look it up. Google it. Born and raised California,
it was,
right here.
It was on Penguin's
Plunge. I will fight you.
It was on Penguin's Plunge.
That's not a thing.
You should look it up.
That's not a thing.
It was on Cat One's Climb.
That's not a thing. You want to mess with me at Six Flags Magic Mountain?
I don't.
In Valencia, California.
I've been twice.
I've been many times. Yeah, we used to go on bottles of Coke cans. Oh, no, not bottles. The Coke cans. If you were under 18, you got a free pass if you turned in a certain amount of Coke cans.
Shit. I didn't know who I was fucking with. Sorry.
Exactly.
I didn't know who I was fucking with.
Educate yourself.
Thank you.
Anyway.
I think Nikki just diagnosed it perfectly. My only thing I would add to that is challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to look at, to when you start talking about something negatively, try to find something positive about it, like to workshop it as you head to therapy, because that's ultimately where we want you to go.
Catch yourself when you're doing it, which you are already self-aware that you're doing it. Just try to catch yourself in the moment and then see how you can make your criticisms more constructive, because I think ultimately it sounds like you have good intentions. It's just that the constructive part is missing. So you're saying all the bad shit about it, but you're not saying like, what could be better about it?
And where could we improve? Because I think you're probably good at it. I think you're probably good at deconstructing something and stepping on it until it's dead, right? and there's a value to that. Like as a comedian, like obviously like there's a lot of things that you could do that with, but challenge yourself to do both and see why this discrepancy exists for yourself. And I think what Nikki's saying is exactly dead on. If you step on enough things, they can't hurt you. And it doesn't need to be like that.
And a good therapist can give you some more tools that you can add to and replace unhealthy coping mechanisms with good ones. Yeah. So definitely see a professional. But
good luck.
Good luck. We love you.
Yeah.
You are loved. Yep. Don't forget that.
For real.
But yeah, like you kind of get what you focus on. So if you want to stop attracting negative things, you do have to kind of make an adjustment
there. Dude, it's so funny you say that. I'm sorry, ever so quickly. Yes. Me and Nikki are watching episodes of Survivor because we love Survivor. And there's a cat on the show who is so fucking negative. And then on the first day of the island, the first minute of the island, this is the cat with the bloody face, like who's like almost going home.
Yeah.
Because he's, I swear,
so negative.
There's something about negative people who are constantly just doing that prove the conclusion that they have a reason to be negative, and it's just a self-fulfilling
prophecy.
Fulfilling prophecy every time.
Yeah. So true. But you know that. So yeah, go see a therapist that can really work those issues out. And yeah, you're not wrong about blaming your parents. Like there probably is stuff that happened in your childhood, but yeah, they were doing their best. You seem very smart. So,
you do. So
I think you'll have no problem. You just need the right tools basically to help you. So
like, you seem like somebody really who would not go on Catwoman's Climb. You're like, you're not going on the
That's
ride.
That's not a thing.
You're not going on the ride.
Get out of here. Go back to Virginia. So. You fool. You clown.
Oh yeah. Do you know about Virginia? King's Dominion?
No, I don't. And I don't pretend to know.
Oh shit.
Okay, this one's called How to Embrace Being Quote Unquote Weird. Maybe we should take a break first, actually.
We should.
Okay, but then we're going to come back and talk about how to embrace being weird. So hope all you weirdos are ready.
Yeah, hope all you Ally Sheedies are ready. Putting your fucking scarf on.
Dude, I've been compared to her a lot.
I can see it.
Okay, well, there you go. And if you don't know what movie reference that is,
that's The Breakfast
get
Club.
Get wrecked.
Come on, guys. Watch old stuff too.
Get old.
You gotta watch both.
God.
Help us keep our references.
Thank you.
Send us 10 movies that you watch so that we can add them to our references.
Yeah, we'll exchange. We watch a lot of Survivor.
We're your aunt and uncle who are like, hey, what are you guys up to?
Right, I am an aunt.
Hey, me too.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, we're back. And the question, if you forgot, which I understand how you could because the ads we read were probably so cool that you were like, wait, like, what were we talking about?
I actually had to open another tab here. I'm getting some products, some fine products.
It's about how to embrace being quote unquote weird. Sorry, this one is kind of long, LOL. That's okay. We got time. Hey, Nikki and Steve, but specifically Nikki, since this question is geared more towards her. You mean weirdos?
I'm weird.
It's not a compliment. Well, it is kind of depending on how you take it. But yeah. Okay, how did you cope with not being conventionally quote unquote normal? I think part of why I am the way I am is because I'm neurodivergent, anxiety, depression, OCD, and ADHD, and I have a lot of childhood trauma. I feel like people get annoyed by me because I don't have a great attention span. I'm impatient. I pace a lot and stare off into space. I need to be mentally stimulated or I cannot stay and do something. I feel like I need to leave. I can be high maintenance at times and have very strong emotions, positive and negative. I have quote unquote quirks that others have to deal with, but it can also be difficult because I feel like people get sick of me. On the other hand, I have a lot of positive qualities as well. I have a witty sense of humor. I'm empathetic. I'm very loyal and affectionate. I'm interesting because I'm constantly thinking of new ideas and I can keep a conversation going. I'll randomly start new creative projects. I have a fashion line, a jewelry line, a bullet journal. I'm writing a screenplay. Despite all my positive traits, I feel like people want someone who is way more normal or easygoing or quirky, but not too quote unquote weird. I worry that I drain others with my energy, and I know that some people include me, but then tell others that they feel pity towards me. Oh my God, I relate so hard to that. I know that there are people who genuinely love my presence and think I'm fun to be around. While I know my value, I have gone through life feeling like I'm hard to love, so it's pretty hard to unlearn. I feel like guys lose interest when they find out that I'm weird. I feel like I find myself masking myself with friends and romantic partners because I'm worried they will even think I'm weird and leave. I don't even do this on purpose, so that's the scary part. I get that. Anyway, I'm only 18, so I'd like some advice. I know that I have good things about me and I'm passionate about trying to be myself, but it's hard when yourself is not what society generally accepts. Anyway, I would like some big sister advice. Much love, Anonymous. All right. Awesome. I mean, you're further along than I was at 18. At 18, I was in a depression shithole because I wasn't aware of neurodivergency or I have awesome traits. I saw everything that I previously viewed as awesome as being just weird and that I must be delusional to think that they were ever cool to begin with.
Right.
And it was just like, I just felt like I brought no value to the world at all. So you're farther along than me. So congratulations, pat yourself on the back. At 18, that's wonderful. I'm so happy for you to at least be self-aware, even though your reality hasn't quite caught up to your mindset, if that makes sense. I think that you're on the right path.
Can I real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I don't think I know one single friend or person in my life who doesn't have quirks to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are things that are happening that I think are more common than you think that you associate as being weird.
Yeah.
That I don't think are that weird.
Well, that's because, and I get At 18, I'm trying to put myself back there.
Of course.
You haven't found that yet, like with the community of people yet. Because I think that we're in the entertainment industry and there's a lot of creative people. And just so happens that a lot of creative people happen to have quirks and are like a lot of creative people have ADHD. Like a lot of like the people that we know and are around have.
Maybe I'm just lucky things. Then because my first kid friend, my best friend as a child, his name is BJ, and he had ADHD diagnosed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, it never has been that weird to me, I guess, like quirks-wise.
Well, you seem to be attracted to it.
Yeah, apparently, that's all I want in my life.
Yeah.
But no, but that's what I mean. It's not that strange to me, and especially because I have, I think my mother deals with depression. I don't think that I got off the hook as far as being around any of that.
Right.
Like, so... And I mean off the hook just as far as like I'm not ignorant to it at all whatsoever. I see it. I'm immersed with it and I like it. Like I like trying to help like my mom, like be her bright light. I like understanding when somebody's maybe acting a way that other people are like, that's weird. And I'm like, I don't see that as that weird. Am I crazy?
Yeah.
So like I like the looking at the both sides of it, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that anything that this person said is that odd or quirky or weird or anything. And I just want to try to help her maybe embrace that it's not that weird.
Okay. Yeah. I think that embracing the fact that it's cool to not necessarily be the norm is great. I would say, because I was going to use you as an example, that fuck the people that are annoyed by you or that don't get you or that judge you because of stuff that they misunderstand about you, because there are going to be people along your life that will understand you and will accept you, like Steve was for me. I think that you're the first person, the first boyfriend that I've ever been with that I have been able to unmask completely with.
Yeah.
You know?
You're just yourself.
I've been myself around my previous boyfriends because they've always been like my best friend, but there's always a little inkling of like, well, I can't show them this part of me, you know, I can't completely let go because I still want them to think I'm cool. Like I don't want them to think I'm annoying, and I still had that little bit of masking where like that I needed to be cool person or pretend like I had my emotions under control when I really didn't. I had a lot of trouble regulating emotions, and I would just need alone time to basically cry and like have meltdowns and stuff without them seeing.
I honestly think that my mom helped so much with that because I saw that so much growing up.
Yeah.
Like my mom having meltdowns and stuff, and it was always like just part of my daily life.
Yeah.
But I never think of it as that weird, I guess.
Which is so cool.
Yeah, but I didn't even know until later on that that's not everyone's mom's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I totally relate to this person where it's like, gosh, like I just wish so badly that I could regulate my personality, like that like my hyper times where I am like kind of annoying, that I could know and tone it down. And it's like this constant like needing to be self-aware, and it can never let the walls down because you might end up being too annoying and people would, they'll find out about you being,
the plebs will.
Yeah. But I get it. It's a real fear. Cause like, you know, being a human being, we have these primal instincts to run in tribes, to be accepted by the whole, to like not be outcasted. And it's hard to feel like you're doing the most to try to be part of the group,
right,
and then get outcasted. I'm not talking about the people that are like, fuck you, I want to be outcasted.
No,
like,
I think I have a cheat code compared to you because I can hear what the tribe is going to say. And you're like, I'm just being myself. I don't think they're going to think that.
Yeah.
And then later on, you're like, oh my God, this is what they're going to think. Yes. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But in the moment, you're like, no, I'm just, no, they're not going to think
go,
that.
And then it's like, oh no, I let myself go in that moment. Like, fuck, did I fuck up? Like,
but for me, I'm like, oh, I'm a hyper aware. So I know the tribe's going to think that because of what you just said. So like, let's try to talk about this.
I always have to use you as a sounding board because I'm like, did I go too far? Was I too weird? Like, did I do something like just so crazy?
How many times have I said yes to that, by the way?
Exactly.
Like never.
Yeah.
Because you're uniquely you. And I love that about you. And anybody who's lame to you, that's why we keep a tight ship anyway, have a tight friendship circle.
That's another
thing
too.
That's how you should be as well.
You should keep it tight. Like, yes, I get the masking part, and but like find the people, like maybe it's one by one, like maybe you only have find one at first, and then for years, like it's just you and that one person that you can unmask around, and then it kind of grows over time, but you keep that circle tight, because then you, that's how you build the sense of security, and like then it allows you to unmask in front of other people outside that circle, and it doesn't matter if they judge you, because you know you always have that inner circle to come back to.
You have a back strength.
Yeah. But yeah, ultimately, you're right about all these things, like all the good qualities you listed, and I'm so glad that you're aware of them. The, like, you know, the creativity, the starting creative projects, all this stuff, like the jewelry line, bullet journal, writing a screenplay, that's amazing. And that all stems from you being kind of outside of the norm. Like, mm-hmm. that most people are scared to go out of their comfort zones, and you're not, because of whatever reason.
The thing about reality that sucks compared to Hollywood, right, is that mostly in X-Men movies, we see people who can make fire with their hands, and they're like, I just wish I was normal. And we're like, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck off. They're like, I can fly. Like, it sucks.
It sucks.
I just want to be a person. And we're like,
accepted.
Oh, fuck off. This metaphor actually completely sucks, because everybody wishes they could do that.
Yeah.
There's nobody who's like, I see a guy who can fly. What the fuck, man? We get the, come on, man. That's fucking weird, dude. Everyone's like, holy shit. If anything, like, you get some kind of acclaim for it or credit.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a whole career off of it. But these things are more detailed, more idiosyncratic. And so therefore it's less sexy.
Yeah.
And that's what Hollywood does. It makes everything so goddamn sexy. That's true. Like, but they use the same metaphor. So what she's dealing with is, I think, so normal. And I think, I wish it was way more normal as far as like the way that we see everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're rooting for you, man.
That's, yeah. I mean, 18, you're so young. Like, you have so much runway to meet the people that you're just going to click with. My best advice is just to not waste time on the ones that don't. Like, don't. Dude, if I could go back and talk to my younger self, yeah, I would be like, don't waste so much energy trying to impress this person or trying to be part of this group, which ultimately doesn't, they don't get you. Like, they, I mean, just,
you've
don't
had the
get
same
you.
Four friends for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with me and like Richard Ryan and like all the Toy Sketch guys, like the, like, but it's all rare, right? Like,
yeah.
As far as everybody goes, like, it's harder to find those people that we just go like, yeah, those are our people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But you'll get better at it.
Yeah.
If you just keep yourself as the gatekeeper to yourself. Like, don't give your power away to like, oh, I hope you accept me. Yes. Like, no, like, they're,
I'm going to work overdrive to have you accept me.
Do you accept them? Like,
exactly.
Just switch the table around.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not weird. There's nothing about you that's weird. There really isn't.
Weird is just
because you can't make fire with your hands.
Weird is perspective.
That'd be weird. And I'd be calling the government if I knew you could do that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, I like the start of this one. Thank you for being a diamond among rocks. Sounds like a bunch of compliments are about to ensue.
Sounds like you listen to a lot of podcasts.
Please give podcast guidance. Thanks. Okay. Hi, Nikki and Steve. Thank you for being a rose among daisies for podcasts. Your podcast is one of the best finds I've stumbled upon on YouTube in what feels like a long time. Hashtag facts.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Oh, so you just stumbled across us.
My former audience really cool. disagrees, by the way.
So my friend and I recently started a podcast, and I'm starting to feel overwhelmed as a new beginner podcaster. We currently set up our socials, posting a new episode every Tuesday, marketing promotion through social media, IG, TikTok, Twitch, links below if you want to check it out. Mm-hmm. Basically, do you have any advice on how to monetize, grow the pie? Do you also think doing more is better? Example, more content, more posts, more eps, etc. Or being more accurate with studying SEO, finding a niche, planning in advance. My struggle is finding the balance between doing the work because I'm eager to grow, and I know I'm impatient because I want to enjoy the work, but I am afraid when I'm doing things by go with the flow, I tend to half-ass a lot of things, and then I get mad that I didn't do enough work, and I'm already seeing this, that this is going to be a delicate cycle. Thoughts in advance, please. Anonymous.
Why be anonymous if you're trying to plug your podcast?
Right, dude, that's true.
What the fuck are you doing over there?
What are you doing? You could have got a free plug right now.
Come on, man. All right. I mean, okay. So I get it. They're going for genuine advice here on their own thing. But when, anytime that I'm trying to pitch something to somebody,
mm-hmm.
like Nikki, name a movie right now. And by the way, this is unprompted.
Mm-hmm.
Unprompted, Nikki did
and
not know.
I really
know.
Don't know a lot of movies.
She
so
does
this
not know a lot of
hard.
Movies, but you got to be good at pitching, I think. Okay, go.
What, name any movie?
Any movie.
Garden State.
Garden State. A coming of age movie about a man who, after the death of a family member, has to confront what he wants to do with his life. Right? And that kind of is the whole thing that brings you into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why, what does your podcast exist for? What's the hook of your podcast? Like, that's what you have to ask yourself. Yeah. Like, for us, it was shit they don't tell you. It was like, this is the shit that we wish we knew.
Some shit that, like, we wish that we knew, that we wish people would have told us instead of the things that we learned in school.
And people, to this day, if we're at some party somewhere and they don't know us,
they hear podcasts, they're like, yeah, whatever. Everyone has
a podcast. And then we say that and they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, they get kind of hooked on it. They're like, oh, let's check that out. That's a great concept.
So you need to figure out what your hook is first and foremost. Fuck SEO. Fuck all the other things you're talking about, like all the search stuff. It's all great. That can work for you too. But having a core idea that works, mm-hmm. that's everything.
I wouldn't disregard the other stuff. And when it comes to quality versus quantity, I would definitely focus on quality first. Really put all your energy into finding that niche, that hook, that everything. Yeah. And what you want is to come out with an episode so great that people are begging for more like it, right? And then that's how you know you're onto something, like that you're onto a hook or whatever. And then you can put time into creating another episode like that. And what you want to eventually do is get to a point where, like, you just know exactly what your thing is and you hit it over and over and over again so hard. And that's when you can up the quantity of it. And with monetization, it's just all about, honestly, I mean, I think it's about views. We have producers on our podcast, so they do that stuff. Yeah. But it's about, I guess, brands sponsoring the show. Also, Patreon is really cool. Patreon, shout out to Patreon. Patreon.com/sticky if you want to help the show out.
And don't be too cute either. Oh, yeah, but no, Crypto Corner on Patreon.
Sick. Yeah, yeah.
Ever so say. But don't be too cute either, where you beat an idea to death where you never actually make anything because you're like, well, that's not original yet because everything's been done. I'm talking about, like, just having something that you're passionate about where, like, for me and Nikki, we have been saying for years on every thing we've ever been on, I wish people told me this.
Yes.
And so that's where the show came from. Nikki actually came up with the idea for Shit They Don't Tell You. She's like, the shit they don't tell you about all the things growing up. And I was like, holy fuck. That's exactly what it keys in so well on what our whole vibe is.
Our whole thing, yeah. Has always been.
And then there was, like, an initial war almost where it's like, is our show just subject based?
Yeah.
Or is it vibe based? Like, and I think that it's both.
Now it has a balance.
Which is good.
Yeah, for sure.
But behind the scenes, we weren't even sure because it was so early. You're exploring. You're trying to find out what the fuck it is. And so it was like, are people here for the vibe or are they here for the subject? For the subject, matter?
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be both. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're just a hangout podcast and I don't want to be that either.
Totally. Yeah, I was getting really sick of just the podcast where people just shoot the shit.
Like, I don't like it personally. I don't listen to
those. I think it feels a little arrogant to me because it's like it relies on the fact that you think people care about what you're shooting the shit about.
Right.
Or they care. They're so invested in your life that...
Oh, it's just us in our living room. Well, is that interesting?
Yeah. What is it?
Why?
Yeah. I mean, and granted, there's successful podcasts that do this, like...
obviously.
That are really, like, great at it. But, like, when every podcast started doing that, it was just kind of hard because it's like, what are they... there's no subject matter at all. It seemed like
just show up.
It's just a vibe.
Just show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that. But we like that we created a vibe for you guys, but we also like that there's a point to whatever we're doing that day. And that so those two things did not marry themselves initially.
Right. We had to find that.
So that's the whole thing is you got to find your show. As you build it, you will. You can't just start with it and go, it's done.
Yeah.
It will organically create like a whole nother thing.
And that'll hopefully that'll motivate you because once you see what you're on the scent of it, you're like, oh, I got to follow this more and you won't be half-assing it because you're so excited about developing it.
And it'll be, when you look back, it'll be so obvious to you what the answer should have been.
Yeah.
That it'll be almost absurd. But yeah, when you're finding it in the moment and you're in the fog of war and you're just like, we're figuring it out, it's so much harder to recognize what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Like even for me recently doing Crypto Corner, which has been crazy for me personally.
People love it.
But that's what I mean for me personally, though.
Yeah. Even
independent of that, it's been great for me because here's something I've been passionate about for years on end.
Mm-hmm.
And I can finally talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait for like once a month. I can talk about the shit they don't tell you so I don't bore everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Or like when I'm on JK and like if it's okay.
You got like a minute tops.
Yeah. And if I even get to talk about it for 45 seconds myself because everyone's talking. And yeah. It's a shared platform. So, which is good.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing is I get to actually just go deep on something that I can go deep on because, bro, I can go 12 foot deep on this pool because I know what's down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to always spread my wings. And so it's just been great for me personally.
Yeah, it's awesome. I haven't seen you have this much passion and excitement for something since you used to do your trolling videos.
But it was so obvious to do crypto.
But yeah.
This whole time I didn't.
We just didn't know what format or platform to do it on. Yeah.
So looking into your own show, like I promise you'll have the same revelatory thing where you're like,
yeah,
oh my God, it should have been that the whole time. What are you interested in talking about? I promise you. I found people who talk. I've said this many times. I found people who fucking like pinball and I watch an hour of them talking about pinball and I don't even give a fuck.
You'll know because once you start talking about it, it'll give you that little ping of like there's like a fuzzy feeling, like the spark.
Your soul's jumping out of your body.
Yes. It's like so excited about it.
Yeah.
And you'll just know. It's like being in love. Like you'll just know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to grab your boobs right now.
Don't do it.
I should.
My boobs got so big, guys.
They got big, guys.
I went up like a full cup size.
We're excited about it.
I can't show them to you right now.
Are you a D?
No, I'm like a full C. But I was a D.
You're like a late C, I think.
Was like a D. I was a D in high school.
You're a C minus.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be C plus if it was moving on to the next size?
No, because you're closer to a D. You're C
minus. Oh, gotcha.
Are you even listening?
I don't know. I was thinking opposite you. Yeah, I've been a B for like years now and it just recently went back up.
What I love about this is everyone on YouTube is now looking at your boobs. Everybody, including me as I watch this again.
Right.
And jerk off.
Anyway, I hope that helped you, Anonymous. We'll check your shit out. We'll check your links
thank
out.
Thank you for thank your you links, for sending that. Anonymous, but we will keep you anonymous because you asked us to.
Yeah, he asked us to do that. It was on you. Okay, we got room for one more.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
Lightning round.
Okay.
We call this lightning round.
Okay, I'm leaving it up to you. Do you want can people change or do you want long distance trans polyamorous pile featuring compliments?
I think you know what I want.
Okay, long distance trans polyamorous pile featuring compliments.
Thank you.
Hi, Nikki and Steve. I want to hear all the compliments, please. Okay. Yes. I want to start by saying that I'm on a self-improvement journey and I feel like I'm close to a major breakthrough and finding a fulfilling life direction for myself. I've done a lot of work, therapy, medications, meditation, etc., but I'm grateful to have such amazing role models as you two and Alan Watts at Nikki's recommendation. Oh my God, yes.
Wait, who the fuck is that?
Alan Watts?
Who's that?
Oh, he's amazing. You got to check out his stuff. He's I guess a philosopher, but he has just I agree with pretty much everything he's ever said.
When I find someone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I haven't listened to everything he said, so maybe there's something out there I don't agree with, but I've up till this point agreed with every single thing he said.
Yeah.
And he has such a great way with words. This is going to turn into a compliment Alan Watts session.
I mean, Nikki doesn't even talk that way about her husband. Okay.
I mean, you're just not as articulate as him. And he takes you on a journey. Like,
my body counts half of hers.
The silence between his words is like so, just so good. Anyway.
What the fuck? Don't come to this.
Go fucking Google him and you'll be on the same journey as me.
I'm not going to come to Alan Watts.
I've shown you some of his stuff. Maybe I just didn't tell you it was Alan Watts. Okay,
you didn't.
I want to make this as brief as possible, but it's a little / very complicated. Names change to keep anonymity. My name is Lil Debbie. I'm a 26-year-old bi trans woman in the Portland, Oregon area. I have two partners, a very gay boyfriend of 5 years named Jordan and a very bi... Wait, names... Okay, names are changed. Okay. A very gay boyfriend of 5 years, Jordan, and a bi boyfriend of 1 year, Alex. Jordan lives with me and Alex lives in Texas. I've known Alex for 7 years and we met through Team Fortress 2.
Oh my God, nice.
What is that, like a Fortnite thing?
Well, if you listen to my life story, you know I used to play Team Fortress Classic. I was one of the legends of that game.
Okay.
I was one of the best. Actually, this is real. I was one of the top 30 players in the world at one point.
Are you Alex in this?
No, but I just wanted to give my credentials on this story. So people understand what I'm talking about. Team Fortress.
I don't even know what that is. What is it?
It's a game. It's a video game from Steam. It's a Valve game.
I don't know.
It's a Half-Life mod.
You know what? I don't want to know anymore.
Fine.
We've been talking almost the whole time we've known each other and have met multiple times in person to do some hanging out. There was also some infrequent banging out, which Jordan gave informed, enthusiastic consent for. Jordan and Alex aren't in a relationship.
Wait, what does that mean, banging out?
Like, so they fucked and she, like, Jordan, her boyfriend of 5 years, said totally cool with it, like, yes.
Oh, the two dudes fucked.
No. Okay, so she's in a relationship with these two dudes.
Yes.
Okay. One's Jordan that she's been with for 5 years. Yes. The other guy is Alex, who
is in Texas.
Is 1 year. Yeah.
Right.
And so Alex is in Texas. Yeah. And so she's only met up with him a few times because okay. They met through Fortress 2.
Team Fortress 2.
So that's how they met. And like they've only met up in person, right. IRL, a few times. There was some banging out that her other boyfriend, Jordan, approved of tremendously, enthusiastically.
He's not a TF2 guy.
But Alex and Jordan are not in a relationship.
Do you know if she plays a heavy?
I don't know.
Or is she a soldier?
That's not part of it.
Okay.
They're both supportive, but Jordan is apprehensive and can't picture himself dating a woman. He's told me he wants to stay with me and doesn't want me to repress who I am. Alex, however, has been very positive and encouraging, using she, her pronouns for me, referring to me as his girlfriend, and generally being more outwardly supportive. I started hormone replacement recently and wanted to look into gender confirmation surgery, bottom surgery, around the end of next year. Jordan is understandably not excited about that, but is still doing his best to be supportive. Me and Jordan just got home from a visit to see Alex, and Jordan has been physically and intimately distant since I told him I wanted to start hormone replacement therapy, which was before our trip. So now I'm in a position where I want to stay with both of them because I love them both a lot, but Jordan has shown less interest in me in being close and doesn't want to move to Texas. Alex has two other boyfriends who live with him in his mortgaged house in Texas, so all of them moving to Oregon is pretty much out of the question. I'm excited about my future with Alex, but it feels like Jordan is a toxic relationship waiting to happen before we break up. Jordan helps pay for rent, and I'm able to pay down debt and save up at the same time because of his help, but I don't want to think we're staying together only for financial reasons or societal pressure to not break up. Are my fears unfounded, and should I stay with both of them, or should I cut things off with Jordan and make a break for Alex in Texas? Thank you so much for your time. I love you both so much, and I'm glad to be supporting y'all however I can, since your content has been so helpful and supportive for me. Much love, little Debbie. Oh my God.
We love you, Debbie.
I mean, right away, I'm going to say go with Alex and break up with Jordan. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I knew more, honestly, because it sounds like... Well, no, hold on.
Okay.
It sounds like there's something that he found about this person as they are.
Yes.
That he attached himself to.
Okay.
And so he's coping with what's going on with the change that's about to happen.
Okay.
That's all. But, could be. But embracing what they want is so important.
Yes.
And so giving them a little bit of time to try to embrace it, I think, is not necessarily horrible. But if you're just like, you know, that's what I'm trying to see both sides.
But I understand. And yeah. I like where you're coming from. Yeah. It's like when I gave up eating meat and exactly. You were like, okay, you were so like, kind of like,
I was weirded out. I was weirded out. You were like, we would celebrate things by going to eat filet mignon, yes. For example.
Yeah.
And you went on a dime.
Yeah.
And it was fine because I accepted it, but it took some time like to understand.
Okay. But did you ever blatantly say, I can't be with someone that doesn't eat meat?
No, fuck no.
And so this person did. Right. So Jordan said, I can't see myself being with a woman ever.
Right.
And
That's true.
It's and she understands
yeah,
Jordan's thing. And I get how that could be hard too. You're okay. Look at you right now. 100% straight. You probably can't picture being with a man, right?
No.
And if I was like, I'm a man, then well, you're straight. Like you can't change that. Like you're just born how you're born. You know, she's born trans. And he was born a gay man. And like, that's,
right.
I think that ultimately he can love her. Like yeah, Jordan can love her, but sexually, I don't think it'll work out. And ultimately I think that that will be the demise of the relationship. And instead of drawing it out and like going through all that suffering and like trying because you love a person and you're trying to
appeasement is not good.
I just think that you should let it go. Like, honestly, you're on just a different path now. And unfortunately, you and Jordan met at a time where you were still confused, maybe. Or, I mean, I don't know your whole situation, but it sounds like, you know, that what he entered into a relationship with is not what is happening currently.
Yeah.
And that happens in relationships on all sorts of levels. Like, people enter relationships saying, like, both of us were together and we never want kids. Yeah, like, yeah, that's a thing that we will never break that agreement. Yeah. And then one person wants kids, and it's not the other person's fault that they still don't want kids. And it's not the person's fault that changed their mind and actually wants kids. But,
well, no, but they're a liar now.
What?
They're a liar now, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you're trans, it's not like you changed your mind. It's just that you discovered who you actually are. And, and that's beautiful. But yeah, to the person that was with you for who they thought that you were sexually, and this is not like to do with you as a person, but like, you know, sexual orientation wise, it makes things very complicated because, especially if you get bottom surgery and they are used to different parts being there, like, it could be very, very hard for them. And again, like Steve said, I don't know Jordan. Maybe he is a type of person that can change his mind and, or like, or is more open to doing more things on the spectrum.
I just think that the reticence is not an indication of like, this is fucked. That's all. Like, if there's going to be a change like that, right? Then
a major change.
Yeah. Then Jordan's going like, okay, I'm maybe not like, is Jordan supposed to, if this is happening, and he's known about it, of course.
Yeah.
But now that it's actually happening, like on the next Monday morning, is he supposed to just be like 100% I'm in, right? Like, obviously there's more detailed things going on. That's
totally
all. And so I can understand the reticence, but I don't know that he can't budge as all. Cause I don't know Jordan. I don't know the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, if you want to give it a 6 months or something, sure.
And just see, but if he makes you feel bad, that's the key.
Exactly.
I don't like that. If he makes you feel bad about it, then fuck it.
Well, and he can even not even be intentionally making her feel bad, but just the, like, he wants to be with the guy, you know, and he's very clear about that.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, he can love you, but I mean, to be honest, if you were, you've discovered that you were a trans woman right now, I don't know. Like, I guess I would have to take time, but like, you know, I have a certain identity myself, and I think Jordan does too. And yeah, it is about like, I mean, we don't know any of you personally, but it sounds like.
No, I think you're probably right.
Alex accepts you 100% whole for who you are and what you are and what you stand for and what you've discovered about yourself and who you are now. Jordan represents who you were then, and he still can love you, but not be in a relationship with you.
Yeah. And I'm merely, I think I agree with you. I think more than I agree with even what I'm saying, but I'm trying to represent that a little bit because of the lack of understanding of the situation. That's all.
Oh, I agree. I mean, like, obviously everyone that submits questions here, we don't know the full situation. And so we're taking just the information that we're given from what was submitted in the email and trying to like make an opinion based on that. But just speaking from knowing relationships, I've known couples where they were very young and one of they were in a gay couple and then one came out as being a different gender and the other one was like, sorry, like, I love you, but like, I'm attracted to
for sure.
Like, it was a lesbian couple and she's like, I'm attracted to women and you're a dude and I support you 100%. I support you. That's great. I'm glad you found yourself, but
that's not
I
me.
Can't be with you. And that sucks
because
it's like we built a whole relationship on what we thought was going on and that's no one's fault. But I do think that Alex sounds like he 100% accepts you and ultimately that's
Alex is not a problem here.
Yeah.
It sounds like
Jordan,
there's trying to be a reconciliation with Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just don't want to just go like,
and dismiss it.
Fuck Jordan anyway.
No, like,
I just want to try to understand where Jordan's coming from a little more before I discard Jordan. That's
totally.
All. Yeah.
Oh, I get that. I think that's what she's going through too.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. And I'm trying to feel for that too.
So maybe give it a few months, but I mean,
ultimately,
I think
hit the breakup button, Mark. Hit the breakup button. That's usually how we handle this.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying, you know, trying to do better. That's all. I'm trying to do better at
understanding that. It's a disservice to hang on to a person that you know is not going to work.
No question.
Out.
So if you know that, then you already know the answer better than me.
I think your gut is probably pointing you into a certain direction.
Yeah.
But this was a month ago so that she submitted this. So I don't know what.
Oh, shit.
Maybe you probably made a decision by now. let us know. Like, keep us posted.
But hey, that's why you have two boyfriends. Nicely done.
And that has been Shit They Don't Tell You. If you have a question you would like to submit to us, and we will drunkenly answer it, maybe soberly, but hopefully today was drunkenly, unprofessionally and unexpertly.
Yes.
Email us, podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. Or you could join our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky.
If you like the show, you want to hear
there's
it earlier.
Bonus
you
episodes get it a day in there. Earlier. You also get your requests answered first. No one's taken advantage of that aspect. But
like, good point.
You know, to be honest.
Also, our Discord community is absolutely lit.
It is.
Absolutely lit.
Shout out to the Discord community. They're amazing.
They're incredible. We also do, like Nikki said, our live stream every month. And I do my show, Crypto Corner. And we love you guys. And thanks for listening. Also, downloading the show helps a lot. Telling your friend about the show helps a lot. And we appreciate you guys so very much.
Thank you so much. We will see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye on the show that is a diamond amongst rocks.